Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. My beautiful co-host, Anne, is at home with her sweet new baby, Nora. But we have a special guest in studio with us today, and we're going to jump in with all of her amazing story in just a moment. But for those of you that are new to the show, Hannah's Heart is a show for couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage, or child loss. If God is just building your family in a different and unique way, and you need extra support and help to trust Him during that season, then we're here for you, and we want to encourage you that God is enough. You can cling to Christ, and He's going to be with you through whatever storm you go through. So today's guest is Megan Pearson. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We are so excited to have you. So Megan, you've been a Hannah's Heart follower for a little while, right?
Yes.
When did you first find out about Hannah's Heart?
After one of our losses, somebody sent it to me, and I started listening to it, and it was probably a couple years after y'all had started, so I was able to kind of listen to it every day on my way to work initially.
She's been an early, you're one of the essential followers, and we had some get-togethers in the area, and you drove up your a little ways to drive here, but we have loved getting to know you and hear your story. And y'all, she has one of these stories that, like, sometimes on Hannah's Heart, we have somebody that, like, okay, you struggled with infertility, or you struggled with miscarriage, or you've, been starting the process of adoption, or you've had, you know, whatever. Like, she's done it all. Like, literally, if there's an option, she has gone through it and pursued it, and is still in the thick of your journey. You still do not have a child in
not
your
yet.
Home. But
not yet.
Spoiler alert. Well, there's some exciting things coming up. But let's just start from the very beginning, Megan. So tell us, who's your husband? How did y'all, just briefly, how did you meet? And did you know you wanted to have kids from the beginning?
Yeah, so I'm married to Blake. We actually, funny story, met online.
Okay.
We were living about 4 hours apart when we met.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes to meet the right person.
Yes. So when we were dating, we had talked about wanting children. We both said, you know, we want to have two. We had that perfect number, you know, and thought it wouldn't be an issue. Mm-hmm. And then here we are. And we've been married. It'll be 10 years in October.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. So you took a little bit of time in the beginning of, like, okay, let's just be married for a second. And then you decided, okay, what was it that made you decide, let's start right now?
So in 2017, my dad passed away in January. And so it was kind of just, you know, a little nudge
unexpected.
To me to kind of, you know, like, hey, I mean, we're not promised tomorrow. So if this is what you guys want, you know, you're not getting any younger either. But if this is what you guys want, it's probably a good time to go ahead and get started. So we started trying for a family in March of 2017.
Okay. And what went from there? How'd that go?
So we tried on our own for a little while. In September of that year, we ended up in our primary care doctor's office. I'd had 3 months with no cycles and all negative tests. So it was kind of like, well, if I'm not pregnant, then what's
something
going on?
Yeah.
So she did some blood work, and it showed I had PCOS, insulin resistance.
Ooh.
So she put me on that lovely metformin and, you know, said the whole, you'll be fertile myrtle now.
Yeah.
And that was not the case. 3 months later, I'm miserable, having cycles consistently pretty much. And so I got a referral to a fertility specialist at that point. So we started with him in December of that year.
Okay, and started just on medication and trying to get your body balance and that kind of thing?
Yeah, he started, of course, he wanted to do his own kind of tests and stuff.
Sure.
So he tested Blake, and he was fine. I went through all the blood work, and then he wanted to do the SHG and the HSG.
Which are awful.
Terrible. So we did that, and it showed I had a blocked right tube.
Okay.
So then he recommended us to have a diagnostic laparoscopy surgery to kind of check and make sure I didn't have endometriosis, which which I did. So,
so I had that. Now you have PCOS
and endometriosis. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. It's like, what else, you know, could I have? Wow. So we did that surgery in March. So we're like, okay, well, you know, everything's cleaned out.
We've
let's
solve the problem.
Let's just try on our own for a little while. So we took some time off, and still nothing happened. So we went back, and he was like, you know, initially they want to just jump to IVF.
Mm-hmm. Every single doctor does. Mm-hmm.
My husband, who is my voice of reason, thankfully, yeah. was like, hold up, let's yeah. kind of slow down. Let's start from the beginning.
Least and then, invasive, yes. least expensive yes. options first.
So we started with IUI. And we weren't able to go through with that procedure because I didn't have enough follicles to mature mm-hmm. to even go through with the final part of that. So we were kind of at a loss. We were like, let's just kind of take some time mm-hmm. and think about it, pray about it, and kind of see what we need to do. So in that time, I was like, I'm also going to try to get a little bit healthier mm-hmm. and lose some weight and kind of see if I can do some things to help.
Sure.
So I lost about 20 pounds. My cycle mm-hmm. started becoming regular again. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and he said, well, I'll be willing to try IUI again if that's what you guys want to do. So I was like, yeah, let's try that before we, you know, just say let's just IVF's your only mm-hmm. option. So we tried that. We did 3 rounds of IUI that all failed.
Mm.
So then you're just
and y'all, for
like,
those of you that don't know, IUI is not fun. There's nothing romantic no. or Hollywood glamorized about any of the fertility process world. But
and I think the men have a harder time with that than
I'm
we
sure,
do.
I'm sure. But like none of it's fun for anybody. No. You're throwing money at it every time. It's invasive. It's personal. And you got to take off time from work. And like
yes.
every single time you try, it's impossible to not have the incredible hope that this is gonna bring us a baby. And then you've got that pregnancy test 2 weeks later that, you know, the incredible low.
And our clinic's like an hour from us, so it's the travel time too, you know. So
you're investing a lot yes. of finances and emotion
yeah.
and time.
Yeah. So it's hard, you know, and it kind of makes you struggle and begin to question things. And, you know, I'm a social worker at a hospital and I'm working a women's unit mm-hmm. at this time. So seeing all that take place and what I'm having to deal with on that side of things and then what I'm dealing with personally.
So wait, so you're counseling women who are just finding out that they're pregnant at the hospital and women?
No, they're delivering.
Deliver. So,
yes.
you're right up and
yes.
close. And, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's extra brutal.
So that was 2019, I believe. So then COVID happened. So kind of everything shuts down and, you know, we just kind of take time to kind of just be us and enjoy
sometimes
us
it's a nice
while.
Break, but it's also really frustrating because like if you're a proactive woman, like I know for me when COVID hit, like we had just started our fertility stuff and then it was like, oh, everything's closed.
Yeah.
Like you can't. Like,
and if you try to do stuff,
yeah.
excuse me. And they recommend
yeah.
you not because yeah. of, you know, they
risks
didn't really know what
what's
all
gonna
was going to happen
world.
At that point.
Which is
so,
a scary time in general. But
yeah. So after all that happened or through that, I guess, we decided we were going to pursue IVF. The Lord kind of made things situated so that we could pursue that.
Mm.
So we tried that. We ended up with 2 embryos that were both grade C embryos.
Mm. When you say I tried that, let me just slow you down for a second. Because some of you are all like, oh, shouldn't you just did that? And like the next day, like, there's a lot that goes into IVF. You had a lot of medication, a lot of
yes.
injections, a lot of different
procedures.
It's like a part-time job
yeah.
to have to go through IVF. The emotional toll that it takes to go through that is not light.
Yeah.
So
and then I'm having to try to teach myself because I'm not a nurse. I'm a social worker.
Yeah.
So my clinic missed not teaching me how to do the injection.
Oh,
so here I am
goodness.
With YouTube trying to kind of figure out how I'm supposed to be.
So stressful.
Messing,
and you're like, if
you
I mess this up, like, I was the same
it's
way.
It's going to be my fault.
Yes.
Yeah. So we ended up with 2 grade C embryos, which for those of you that don't know, mm-hmm. grade A is what is the best.
Ideal.
So we were kind of below that. So we decided.
And fewer eggs than you'd hope for. Fewer.
Yes. We only ended up with 9 eggs retrieved,
okay.
6 were mature,
okay.
5 fertilized, and then we ended up with 2 embryos.
Okay.
So talking with our doctor about transfer, because I was like, I really don't want to,
yeah.
you know, I mean, this could end up in twins if
sure.
it takes, you know. So, but he recommended that we go ahead and do a transfer for both just because they were lower quality
mm-hmm.
and financial wise.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. we went ahead and had another laparoscopy before the transfer just to kind of get things cleaned out and kind of give us the best shot.
Which means more waiting,
More waiting and more surgery and kind of thing. So, but we, if we were going to do this, we wanted to kind of give it our best shot.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. That was January of 22. In May of 22, I was sitting at work one day, and I was only 3 days late of my cycle, and so I was refusing to test because those of you who've been through infertility know that you test a lot, and you don't want to get your hopes up. So I said, I'm going to wait till I'm at least a week late to test. So I'm sitting at work, and I kind of doubled over at my desk in pain, and I was like, something is wrong. You know, it's not supposed to feel this way. So I called my husband, and he said, I'm on my way. We went to the ER. And the nurse said, well, I'm going to have to do a pregnancy test before I can give you some pain medicine. I'm like, oh, that's fine. You know, I've had plenty of negative tests. I'm not really worried about that, you know. Well, she comes in and she says, it's positive. And I am immediately like, there's no way, like something's wrong. It should not feel this way. And my husband, I think, kind of got a little glimmer of hope at this point because we had never had a positive test. And so we went for an ultrasound, and it showed it was an ectopic pregnancy at 7 weeks and 3 days with a heartbeat. So that was really hard because you know that they said that, I mean, my tube was on the verge of rupture, so they're going to have to do surgery.
And for those that don't know, in this situation of ectopic, like when they recommend a DNC, first of all, that is not abortion. The media likes to try to twist it. It is a necessary life-saving procedure for the mama, and it is not at all a viable pregnancy. I hope that someday medically they're able to figure out how to take that baby that's in the tube and correctly put it in the uterus to be able to continue growing. But that is your only option. But you, so you had to probably have DNC at that point?
Yeah, I had to have a surgery to remove my tube, which, you know, you struggle with because you're like, in a way, your mind and the devil, too, you know, tries to make you feel like it's an abortion. But in your mind, you know really that you couldn't live. I mean, it would end up killing you because my tube was on the verge of rupture.
Being that far along, I'm surprised. Like, I mean, that's very scary.
Yeah. And so we kind of struggled with that a lot. Like, well, science is so far. Why can't they figure this out, you know? But we went through that in 22. And so we just kind of took some time off and, you know, were heartbroken and just trying to kind of figure out how to keep going and what we needed to do. So we went back to our doctor early 23, and talked to him about some other, you know, to see if there were any other options, you know, for us to have a biological child of our own. Because for me, I kind of needed that piece about I've tried to do everything I can to have a biological child of my own. So he offered embryo adoption.
Which, for those that don't know, that's when other couples have had leftover frozen embryos from a cycle. And it's a beautiful way for you to be able to give that child a chance. So you're essentially adopting them and giving them a chance to be able to continue growing. So
yes. So we adopted a grade A embryo. So we were excited and we were like, okay.
Did they feel like your chances were pretty good?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they sounded like it, you know, so we were very hopeful. And then we transferred that embryo and it did not work either.
Oh my gosh.
So here we are like, crazy. You know, we've tried all these things. We felt like we followed what the Lord wanted us to do and praying and trying to follow, you know, what we felt like he was wanting us to do. And none of it's working.
So what's your conversations with the Lord like at this point?
It was hard. I was like, I just don't, you know, I feel like I've done things the way you wanted us to do them and none of this is working. Like, what am I doing? Am I hearing you wrong? You know, what is going on?
Let's talk about that for a second, because I think a lot of people who have never walked through this will look at a story like yours and might wrongly assume, well, God was just leading you to adoption the whole time and you just didn't listen. Like, you were just being disobedient. I'm not saying that there aren't couples that's true, that maybe, you know, that was, God was putting that on their heart from the beginning. But it is a gross jumping of conclusions to assume that somebody is not prayerfully considering every single option. And just because you pursue something and it doesn't end in a child does not mean that God was not with you or that you were not having your heart surrendered to him or seeking him through that journey. That's something that God had to work on me and my husband's heart, because we had so many things that we tried that failed. And I had that same feeling of loss of like, well, is, you know, am I just being disobedient? Is God trying to put up these like red flags and I'm missing them? Because I felt so much peace along the process. And obviously, if you don't have peace, don't, it's not, you know, you don't have to have a biological child. That's not the end goal. But I felt like my heart was surrendered of God, however you work. But I, with you, kind of felt like, you know, I feel like it will give me peace to pursue this option. If it doesn't work, like I will know, you know, that wasn't a good option for us. And I really felt like if God spoke to me and said, don't do this IUI, I would have been obedient. And I was truly surrendering it, but I still felt peace. And then there was this like, why have you left me here, Lord? Why did you let us get so much money invested and time? And why have we gone through all of this? So how did you and Blake reconcile that?
So I think, excuse me. I think he was a little bit more on board with adoption than I was.
At that point?
At that point, okay. Yes. Because after that happened, and we took a little time to kind of talk about it, which throughout this process, I feel like that's one thing that it's done is made our communication a whole lot stronger, because you have to talk about some really hard things. So he was like, okay, well, adoption. And I was like, okay, well, I feel like I can be there now. You know, I feel like I've tried everything that I could that the Lord, you know, wanted us to follow, and we ended up here. So I feel like that's appropriate. I feel like no more treatments, like I'm done with that, you know. And even when we went back to the fertility doctor just to kind of follow up after our embryo transfer loss, and we knew that we were done doing treatments, he was like, well, we can do this, this, and this. And I was like, we're done.
Now like, I have a piece in my heart.
We're done. So we started pursuing adoption in September of last year. There were two agencies that we were kind of looking at that, you know, I knew a lot about one of them from dealing with them at work, and we had kind of had a Zoom call with them and got some information, and I felt really comfortable with them. But there was another one that I went to, or that I had known about, that we were kind of talking to, that was more based on your income. And so I kind of felt really drawn to that, because I'm like, okay,
we
well,
might afford it,
you know, it just makes financial sense. And so I was praying that the Lord would kind of guide me to which one that we were meant to choose. And I just had trouble kind of getting a hold of the other one. And I just felt this nudge to, you know, if you just trust me, I'll provide. You know, I've done it all along. Just trust me. I said, okay, Lord, let's do this. And so we went with that agency. We got our home study done at the end of January. We were officially on the waiting list as of March, and we are just waiting on that call.
And you started the financial side of trying to, like, you and your husband did some creative things. Tell me about the puzzle idea.
So I had seen it before. I can't take credit for it. But we sold puzzle pieces, and whoever bought the piece, their name goes on the back of it, and then you put it together, and you frame it and put it in the nursery.
I love
that. So we did that along with some other fundraisers. We sold T-shirts. We did a Peter's Pottery raffle. We just
and what's the price tag on adoption about? Like, what could couples expect?
About $30,000 to $40,000, just kind of depending on.
So you have now had, at this point, you've had four IUIs, a round of IVF, and a round of embryo adoption, and now you're trying to raise funds.
Yeah.
For. And your husband's not a millionaire.
No.
Correct?
No, right. He's a firefighter.
He's a firefighter. Okay, okay. So you're selling puzzle pieces for what, $10, $20 a piece?
Yes, $10 a piece.
So you're inching towards this $40,000, $30,000 goal.
Yes.
And what is that like? Are you just like, all right, Lord, I'm taking these baby steps?
Yes.
Like, were you discouraged at the beginning?
Not really. I mean, it's a very overwhelming feeling, just now, because that's a huge price tag. I'm like, that's the price of a new car,
right?
You know? But I knew that there were grants and stuff out there that I had planned to apply for. But I was, you know, in the back of your mind, you're like, what if I don't get those? What are we going to do? You know, that kind of stuff. But I still just felt the Lord's nudge, like, trust me, just trust. Every time I questioned it, I felt that nudge, like, I will provide. And he has done nothing short of that.
Well, tell us your latest news.
So one Sunday evening last month, I was sitting at the house and I got a text and it said, hey, if you don't mind me asking, where are y'all at financially with your adoption fund? And I said, well, we're about a sixth of the way there. And they said, okay, well, we're praying on it. And I said, okay, thank you. You know, we're praying on it too, you know. So I got a text the next day, and it was one of those that kind of put your stomach in knots, because it was like, hey, when are you and Blake free? I have some news. And I was like, okay, what is this going to be, you know? And I was like, there's no way it's going to be what your mind is like. Well, maybe this is what it is, you know. I was like, there's no way. And so I said, well, I have about 15 minutes that we're going to be together tonight after work before I head to the women's event at church tonight. And so it said, okay, well, I'll FaceTime you during that window. So we're like on pins and needles, just sitting there waiting for this Zoom, this FaceTime call. And we get a FaceTime call that said, somebody has anonymously and very, very generously donated the rest of the funds for you to have what you need for whenever you get a call.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I immediately start bawling. And Blake is just over there speechless. He didn't have words. And we were just very, very thankful.
I just love that God was like, you take the first step. You sell those $10 and $20 puzzle pieces and those t-shirts.
And I'll multiply them.
Just watch me step in and watch me do it for you, which I absolutely love. And so you guys are currently waiting for that call, and it could be any day. Typically, the process takes about a year to 3 years, but it could be as soon as tomorrow. Or right now.
And a lot of their calls recently are coming from the hospital.
Wow.
So if you get a call from the hospital, you have about 48 hours to get your funds together. So that's kind of where we were like, oh, goodness, that's a short window of time. And so we have these little tear-offs in the bulletin at church for prayer requests. And so I had filled one of those out when I got our May update, and it just says, hey, some of these moms that they've talked to are due in October.
Wow.
And we could get a call, you know, just pray that the Lord will provide for when we get that call.
Wow.
And then that happened in June, and I was just like, wow.
The Lord's just step by step leading you through it. I want to go back to, so with all that you went through, it's easy to sometimes feel like it was a waste, like all the things that, you know, it led you to this moment, but at the same time, you're like, I could have gotten there faster, God, if you had just told me, go call New Beginnings and have a conversation with him. But yet, God, I don't think he causes the loss, but sometimes he allows it. He doesn't stop it. And that's very tricky, because, you know, like, I would never want to say, oh, God caused your ectopic pregnancy or my baby's lost. Like, that's a cruel view of God. But when you know a God who's powerful to part the Red Sea, he could have miraculously, you know, not, you know, healed your endometriosis or your PCOS or your cleared your tube out. Have you seen any positives from this season of everything that you've gone through? Have you seen the Lord taking what the enemy meant for bad and using it for good?
Yes. So I've always been kind of the person who says, like, everything happens for a reason, and the Lord puts us down these paths for a reason. And if that's for me to share my story and, you know, help others who are going through this, then that's our purpose. You know, it kind of gives you
a lot of people.
Yes.
Right,
I have met so many people in this part of our journey that never knew even had struggled, that just sharing my story and just being very open, whether that be social media or just in conversation, has led me to meet a lot of people. And I've even started a support group.
That's incredible.
So I was part of one already. And so I was like, I just feel like the Lord's wanting me to kind of share closer to our home where I can share with some other people. So
I love that. I love that. Well, any verses that the Lord has used to help keep your mind focused on him during this season?
Well, I'll share the one that's actually on our puzzle. And it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me.
And only through his strength, because I cannot imagine being, you know, in the hospital getting ready to have another procedure done and then finding out about a loss. Like, I can't imagine. How do you get up and go to work, and how do you keep moving forward through all of that? It could only be the strength of Christ.
Absolutely.
In you.
And I can't say that I was perfect and didn't struggle at all. You know, there was some hard conversations that were just like, what, why? I don't understand. But ultimately, it's kind of made my walk with Christ stronger throughout all of it. So
I love that. I love that. Well, for anyone listening, we have just a few more minutes left. But I just wanted to encourage you, if you see somebody in your life and they're trying different things and it seems like failure, please be sensitive in the way that you talk to them, and knowing that, like, they might be seeking the Lord's heart every step of the way and just need that encouragement that, you know, success does not like mean that you were led by the Lord, you know, as far as success of a pregnancy. You know, you can have your heart completely surrendered to Him. And sometimes His answer is still no. And that's really hard for couples, but an encouraging thing to do is to just come and say, hey, how can I pray for you? I know you're in the thick of this. What can I do to encourage you? And for those of you listening, we love you. We are praying for you. We are just about out of time, but you are not alone on this journey. God is with you, and we have a support group too. If like Megan, you want to come, for those that are in the Tupelo area, please reach out to us. You can reach us on social media or email us at hannahshart@afa.net. And Megan, thank you so much for sharing
your
story with us
today. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.